you are proclaiming the year 2013 as the year of the data scientist. Any particular reason?
This is huge for us at the Performance Institute. We really think this is the year, and there's a lot of evidence to this, that the data scientist field career really takes root. And I don't just say it's the year of the data scientist. I agree with those at the Harvard Business Review who called it the sexiest job of the 21st century. So it's really a new field. And the U.S. Office of Personnel Management was under a requirement under the new Government Performance Results Modernization Act. They were required to codify a new position and really create a whole new occupation in the federal government. And the group has been working on it for about 6 months. They've come up with a set of competencies, training, and we provided some help with that. And there is now a new way to hire people, and it's a new occupation. It's really a big breakthrough.
Why is it so important to have data scientists now?
You know, there's absolutely one huge reason, which is that we're drowning in data. We have too much of it. We can't sift through it. We don't know what's important and what's not. We're not sure if anything is truly meaningful, and we've got to really build this group of talented, skilled people who can work on theories, what I call theories, hunches, and patterns, which is really understanding what is the data trying to tell you, and more importantly, what are you looking for? We need to be able to pose better questions. The answers are out there. We just don't have people who know what the right questions are.
Who are the people who are being looked at to be this new field, this new job that hadn't existed before? Where are they coming from?
Well, you know, it's very interesting you say that, because you can go through job postings and see in the private sector they're already looking for these people, and you can see what the requirements are. A lot of the requirements are software-driven, understanding databases, database analytics, using the front end. There's some new exciting front end software that sits on top of your traditional SQL database layer and allows you to do more of this kind of work, which is really using these algorithms and really working through what are your hunches and then looking for patterns. And a lot of it is like, and I'm not sure if you saw the movie about the baseball team, Moneyball. And as in Moneyball, the data is out there, but it took a talented person with special skills to really start seeing the patterns in the data.
So it's going to be more of a computer-based system than not somebody who's going, oh, well, I remember seeing that, and here, let me go get it for you.
Yeah, oh, you know, the computers can much more easily pull out these patterns and these causal connections between different groups of data. You know, it's amazing what's happening at the local level in public safety, where local police departments are now able to understand when they're more likely to see crime, what are the days of the month where crimes will occur, and they can actually predict what's going to happen based on patterns that they've become aware of, largely through crunching data in these new systems. And so in the world of public safety, it's amazing, and we're going to see more of this predictive analytics come out in the federal space as well, but it takes data scientists to really start understanding what are we looking for and what are the clues that will help inform us.
Another thing you think is going to be very important in 2013 is intellectual property rights and privacy. How do you think this is going to affect agencies?
There's two aspects to this for the government, and I call it a gold rush, because it's like the old gold rushes of bygone times. There's really a land grab for your personal data. Who owns it? Who can get to it first? Who can, you know, exploit it faster and more efficiently and more effectively? So it is like kind of the old days of the oil booms. There's a resource out there, and that resource is not oil, it's not gold, but it's information and personal data. And, you know, just like with oil or gold or any other natural resource, the government's got to decide how we're going to regulate this, how we're going to make sure that the public, their rights are protected, and we're not seeing just a few people make money off something that really belongs to all of us. You can equate it to any other resource, timber, lumber in our national parks. Who gets to use that lumber? So you can just see the parallels, and the government needs to be involved in the same kind of way. We need laws around this. We need policies. And then at the same time, the government is trying to use data themselves, right? So we can do a better job with public health and public safety and these issues that the government's working on. So the government itself is going to be a consumer of this data. And so how is the government going to be regulated in their own use? So you can see kind of two sides to this, and it's a huge question mark, and I think it's going to explode, particularly because everyone has seen how valuable this is and how much money is tied up in this information.
A recent example of it was Instagram, where they announced that they were going to claim ownership over the photos uploaded by their users, and all of a sudden there was a very quick and harsh backlash that forced the company to retreat. Is there a chance that in agencies, government, everybody trying to get this information, it's going to lead to a lot of long and lengthy legal battles that set precedents that weren't there before?
Oh, absolutely. This is unregulated area. I mean, you can just see in the recent example with General Petraeus and what happened that forced him to leave his job. What the public discovered, of course, is that email is wide open for anyone to look at. You do not need a subpoena to look at email. And the way they poked around private emails in that case, I think, has now put this on the radar of the courts and others and politicians that this is disturbing. Where are the laws around this stuff? And we're going to have to see a lot more discussion of this as we decide what to do. And, you know, getting back to your example with Instagram, the issue there is software companies have been built on the assumption that they'll be able to get this data and use this data and make money off of it. That's why things like Instagram exist. No one pays money to use Instagram. They were built on the premise that they'd somehow be able to use personal data.
The third point that I'd like to bring up, because you brought it up in your written points that are posted on federalnewsradio.com, is finding a silver lining in budget constraints, more collaboration between government and agencies. What has you so hopeful about this really happening now?
Well, you know, I like to think at the Performance Institute, we like to look at things differently and look at things creatively. And there are so many negatives coming out of the budget fight, and with good reason. Obviously, it's not a positive situation, but there are positive points to be found. And one positive trend that you can see through this is the need for interagency integration, which means we're going to share information, we're going to share data, we're going to share systems, and more importantly, and most importantly, we're going to share accountability for results, because we just can't afford to act on our own anymore. And on top of that, it's not even effective when we try to act in silos as one agency versus another agency. A great example of this is a law that came out actually in 2009, but it's being fully implemented now. It's called the Federal Land Assistance Management and Enhancement Act, but it's easy to remember by the acronym FLAME. And it really requires agriculture and interior to work together and to share accountability for protecting our natural lands.